All right, sorry for the splice in the episode. But I just impulsed, scooped up an early birthday present for myself and went with Zoom Pro, so that way we don't have to be limited. Because Jason and I were talking a little bit before we even recorded the episode, just kind of bullshitting and catching up, and then we were rolling well enough to where we were just like, you know what, let's just keep going and let's just fucking ball out. So
yeah, absolutely.
What we were talking about right at the before the break was just getting 1% better each day. And you made the analogy of, you know, an ice cube is an ice cube. When the room is 32 degrees, you turn that up 1 degree, it'll melt. So it's, people can really take that in their however way they want to, but it is true. Even if the 1% better thing, if you think it's cliche, it's annoying, what I found out at least, how true all the cliche things are that everyone says, you know what I mean? All mm-hmm. the shit when you're down bad in the moments where you're like, I don't want to, because like with me, what I've found is it takes a little bit, but in that moment when people are feeding you the cliche bullshit, it's like, oh my God, like please shut the fuck up. Like yep. It's like that's where I go. But then, you know, as you like sit there for a while and you kind of decompress, you're just like, damn it, dude. Like that's, one, was that a poor way to react? And two, like all that cliche shit that they tell you, and I see them all the time. I don't mm-hmm. know if it is for you, but TikTok is honestly like a huge help mental health wise for me. There are so many pages that, and maybe it's just because of my algorithm is in like a different place with where I'm at Gotta mentally. Be. And it's been like that for a while now, because like where it was at in 2020, infinitely different than where it is today. And so it's like, for me, there are so many cool mental health pages that just send like funny or cool pictures with slides, like giving advice. And like, honestly, and there's a lot of people that I follow on live mm-hmm. as well that are massive when it comes to just like talking real shit. I think I brushed up on it last night. It's a lot of people that are life coaches, but that's because of liability reasons. So like that's mm-hmm. why they are a life coach and not, you know, running around acting like a therapist or whatever. So
yeah,
but even those people, they give like a lot of sound advice. But yeah, we don't really have like a direction or where we're gonna head for this next part of the episode, but yeah, just kind of just gonna kind of take off where we're going and just see where it leads. But
yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, like obviously grinding on the masters right now through LSU, kind of go into like what's like your daily routine with that? Because like for me, I always had to work at least like one or two jobs while I was in school, and I've never minded, you know, staying super busy and being super busy with work, but I've always fucking hated doing school. Work or whatever, and then having to still do school. Like I have never in my life, it took me 4 years to get my 2 year. So it's like, and throughout that entire time, and it's another like issue with going into stuff with like my parents,
mm-hmm.
mainly my mom, I was never working enough, which was always super weird to me. Cause it's just like, okay, do you want me to get the fucking education, or do you want me to work these jobs while I'm staying here to save money for this stuff? So it's like, pick a lane.
It's a tough dynamic.
Yeah. So it was always like we got to fucking, something's got to give here. Like which one do you want? And so, yeah, just kind of go into like your daily schedule and how you get through some of that. Cause like you're taking like a legit master's level program to like,
yeah.
Which is not an easy thing to get done. So it's
I'm in their fast program too. You know, I got lucky with my undergrad. I busted my ass, you know, I think I had like 2 B's in my undergrad, all the rest A's. So I got lucky. And this program I found is a 14 month program as opposed to like a two and a half year nice. For people doing it part time. So right now it's pretty heavy. I mean, I have my full time job, 40 hours a week that I work 10:30 to 6:30. And then in the mornings, I actually have my internship, which is Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. So I get in my 18 to 20 hours there each week. And then I probably have 15 to 20 hours of homework each week. So, I mean, right there, you could say 75 to 80 hours total. But for school, you know, good 20, 20 and 15, good 35 hours there. But honestly, the internship has been phenomenal. I'm my long-term goal is to get into counseling. So I want to get my clinical social work license. Yeah. So right now I actually have a small caseload of 5 people I see Monday through Friday. It's been so rewarding because even the very difficult clients that I see, I'm seeing little bits of progress in them. I had a lady with an eating disorder, you know, losing weight month after month. And I've been seeing her just about 2 months now, and her weight has stabilized. She hasn't lost any more weight. We talked about just eating disorder things. But this is a bit of a tangent. All in all, that's kind of what my work week looks like. So I love what I'm doing. It is a lot. I'm excited to have some time off in December.
Right.
For sure.
God. So how long is like the usual, is it just like a standard break for college then? What you would
get? Yeah. So I think my last day of class is December 2nd. And then I go back January 15th.
Oh, like, my God.
All dude. Online. So,
oh, yeah, my God.
It'll be super nice. I'm still going to do my internship through that time, though, which right. I won't get all the hours for. But I just can't leave the people I'm seeing currently hanging. Like, they kind of mean the world to me. So I got to make sure I'm still seeing them. But I'll probably drop my internship hours pretty significantly during that time.
During that break?
Yeah, absolutely. I need to relax.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And it's one of those things where trying to keep shit sustainable too. You know what I mean? Like you'll burn yourself out. I think you and I talk about that all the time. Like we'll burn ourselves out more than like before anything. So, and that was kind of what I dealt with those crazy months with the whole process with the fire shit. It was just, it was like my only thing that I was doing with my life, basically. Well, like, not the only thing I was doing, but it took so much of my energy to where once it was done and I didn't really have a break and was forced to just kind of roll into that second thing. Like I was so fried from running on fumes throughout the first one and having so much of an expectation. It was like, I thought I figured out how to handle it better. And in a lot of ways I did, but I still just, my mindset was still so gone from how much I burnt myself out throughout the first process. So it's,
and that's unbeatable sometimes. I think some people have like a higher burnout, like what it takes to be burnout.
Right.
But a lot of times you're just done, you know, and already if you're dealing with other mental health concerns and things like that, you really have to prioritize it. And that's another thing that's overplayed is, you know, prioritize your mental health, but sometimes it doesn't feel like there's time. And then sometimes you just have to, I'm a big advocate of, man, I'm not feeling it today. I'm going to call in and take PTO because that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to shoot my supervisor a message and let him know, hey, today's not the day. I'm not going to be productive. I need to just chill. And yeah, I think those kind of days are important too.
Oh my God, they're massive. And it's like, it's one of those things I think will always be until our generation gets a little bit older. I think it's always going to be a disconnect with the
older generation. Class.
Yes. Yeah. 'Cause it's just like, they're so from that era of fucking get over it, show up to work. Mm-hmm. That's also like, and we can go into that whole tangent on a different episode too, but it's also like they're from the class that was like, okay, you could work basically whatever job was available for 40 hours and be able to make like a decent living versus like now it's like, is school even super important to get a bunch of stuff? Yes. But at the same time, it's like, is the money going to like equivalate all the work you'd put in through school on the other end of that? Like to be able to get yourself out of the debt that we're putting ourselves in. It's like, I don't know. It's like, that will always be a disconnect like throughout that. It's like for us from that older generation. So it's like,
no, I totally agree with that. It's gotten to a point where we push education and the payout's just not there. Like even if you consider some doctors and things like that, like, I don't know, is the $300,000 plus in student loans, like, and then you're making, let's say, I don't know, I'm just pulling numbers out of my ass, but 150,000,
right?
Like that's a lot of money, but you're not putting 150,000 a year towards that student loan.
No, you know,
you're lucky to probably put 10 to 15,000 to it, and that's still going to take years. So yeah, they definitely have to do something with an adjustment for tuition. Absolutely.
It's just so insane to me, like how much it costs for 1 year at one of these universities. It's like, man, you really like take a step back. Cause like that was one of the biggest things that I think I had to get rid of and get over, was I wanted so badly to go to a 4 year, and specifically like where I was leaning towards Ohio State, but like, but just at the time, I was so scared of the thought of leaving the state. Like I actually terrified of like leaving my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And like all I would have had to do, all like looking back on it now, if I'm being like realistic, I probably would have just moved to maybe not Columbus, but probably Columbus, worked a bar job or something for a year, get residency, make a bunch of connections, and then start school at Ohio State, and just, you know, realistically bury myself in student loans, get something that I might not even be doing now, but I would have went to my dream school, given if I would have even gotten accepted, and then, you know, figured it out from there. Cause it's one of those now, so that plan obviously was so, I was so terrified of the thought of leaving like right after high school, even though I wanted to be out so bad, like it was getting so bad, but it was one of those things where, so that kind of like, I knew that was kind of far-fetched. And so then the next plan was, and I think I've gone over this in a couple episodes too, the next plan was to go to Blackhawk with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, super close to home still. I got accepted into the physical therapy program. So I was like, okay, sweet. I was like, this is where we're leaning. This is what I'm interested in. And then just like how fast that got uprooted, basically, like by my mom's disapproval of like, just her being mortified that I'm going to go bury myself in debt at a different school. And she was just like, basically what it came down to was, they were like, once you, like, if you stay at home and go to Rock Valley, like, we can help you, and you can, obviously, you don't have to pay rent. Like, that's the smarter move. Like, that's what you should do. At least get all your gen eds and stuff out of the way, and get your associates out of the way, and maybe go do whatever after that. And they were like, but if you go there, like, you're going to bury yourself in debt for a 2 year, because like, you're not getting any grants. So, and I was like, yeah, well, I didn't try in high school really. So that's, what are you going to do?
Right.
And then they were like, and like, we can't really like help you for rent. Like, anytime that you're not going to be in school, you're going to basically have to be working. And then this is back in 2014. So it's like, so I was just like a stupid shithead kid. So I was like pissed. I was like, what the fuck? But like realistically, obviously I think there would have been positives if I would have forced myself into that situation. Like, it would have forced me to try harder in school, like sooner. It would have forced me to form like a much better work-life balance, I think, to find myself a little bit sooner instead of just like staying in Byron and cooking basically and just like handling things so poorly. But yeah, at the end of the day, like as much as I disagreed and fought against it at that time, it was so much of a smarter decision. Cause at that point, all I really cared about was going to school with Joe. And so, it would kill me to not go. And it was so sad. You know, one of the biggest things that I think I dealt with was like, and I have nothing bad to say against Rock Valley, like such a great school for what you
one pay of the best for. In the country.
What you pay for. Like, I mean, oh my God. And like everyone that went like says the same thing, at least like that I've talked to. So there's a few haters in there. Absolutely. But like, it wasn't my dream school. So, I mean, I always dealt with that. And then I was always just working so much. Like, I never even felt like a student while I was there either. Like, I was always I was always heading to work right after, coming from work before it. And so it's like, I almost felt like I almost didn't even belong there for a while, but maybe that's me getting a little bit too into it. But it was one of those things where I could have, would have, should have like this to death, this whole situation. But part of me thinks that getting out and getting away from my parents, like at that time, might've been the better move. But at the same time, it's like, like I said, you could have, should have that whole situation to death. So it's whatever. Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's the only thing we can do is move forward from where things are at right now. But Yeah, that was like the toughest part. And then once I grinded through that, dude, it was, I guess, like I said earlier, I fucking hated school. I mean, especially, like I said, because I got my associate's in fire science, so I'm still debating. And right now I'm looking at options to potentially, if I haven't talked to Fran about it yet, but I messaged her on WhatsApp, and I don't know if I'm eligible, but there's, I guess, programs where like other countries will like pay you to go finish your schooling over there, go do schooling over there. So it's like, or it's not just, it's so many other places than like just over in Europe, I think too. So it's like, So I've looked into it to potentially maybe going and because like so many of those places, they learn English, like unlike us, like we take mediocre high school Spanish and that's about it. Depending on like what other classes people take. But it's so like now I'm like kind of looking into the potentially the option of maybe going and finishing my bachelor's in whatever maybe paid for overseas somewhere just to, for that whole experience. So
yeah, that would be great.
That's one of those things too, where it's like just credit to you for, cause it's just working in general is rough for most people. Cause a lot of us aren't doing what we you know. I think a majority of us are not doing what we dreamt of doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people are an exception. Absolutely. But most of us at this time, at this point in time, like right this second are not. And so it's, I mean, credit to you for grinding through that. And then all the extra shit on top of that, because I mean, that shit, like I said, I'm way more prepared for it now and way more at peace now to where I think I could handle it if I did go through it. But at the time with Rock Valley, I was so all over the place, like such a nightmare, dude. I was like, just the balance was so terrible for me. Like work life was so bad. So, but yeah, no, major props to you. And like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, you just got to enjoy it as much as possible, because this is like, you're going to have your master's like in a blink of an eye for like in the grand scheme of things for life. You know what I mean? Like it's going to fly by here. It already is flying by. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm stoked that, you know, even going to school, I'm not even where I want to be yet. I, you know, my job is discharge planning for people at the hospital. Not exciting. You know, I miss when I was the director of social services at, this nursing home, that was fun. I mean, it beat my ass. It was, it was one social worker for 100. And I think we got up to 42 residents, and that's just, you know, it's not possible to keep up with that. So had, quite a few breakdowns there. And then I was like, I got to leave. And, I had this friend that I was a partner with our facility, and she got me over to their company, and I'm super grateful because it's, you know, more laid back, but it's not where I want to be long-term counseling. And once I get my master's, I'm going to switch over to hospice social work for the time being. That's kind of my passion. I've worked with kids. Sorry, can't do it. It's sad in a different way.
Right.
You know, when you see what's happening to kids with old people, it's sad, but it's like expected sad, you know, the decline. Obviously you get elder abuse and things like that, and financial abuse. You meet some shithead people, but I don't know. Being there like for the end of life is just kind of my goal. So
yeah, no, that's a huge thing too. And I think I've noticed the same thing too, where, cause being in fire, it's like dealing with a call with kids versus the elderly. It's either of them, like you walk away from it, especially like when things are bad or rough, you don't walk away from either one of those, like being like, oh, thank God, like it was this and not that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like dealing and processing it with people that are older versus calls with kids has been, I mean, the difference is just night and day too, going off of what you said. It's just like, cause like you just use, I mean, it's just like with kids, it's like, man, like how does it get here? You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like how, and it makes it even harder to process and harder to deal with. And especially since a lot of them, like they'd have no control over how they got in the situation that they got into. You know what I mean? Like a lot of them, they're just along for the ride. And so because they're so heavily reliant. Like as I grow older, it's so wild, like how heavily I've been relying on my parents. Like it's crazy, dude. Like,
Yeah. I mean, we always had that support system around us, and you know, you can think about all the shitty things, but we're here now, and you know, our parents might not be exactly who we want them to be, but
Right.
and you know, in the same regard, we're all still people, and we struggle with addiction, mental health, and especially in our parents. You know, I see a lot of times in both my parents, I'm like, yeah, these seem like signs of depression. Or, you know, severe anxiety. You know, everyone has anxiety, but severe
Right.
anxiety. And they're just like, yeah, well, I, you know, I just keep a good mindset. And I'm like, yeah, but sometimes you might need a little help. So
Right.
I'm always trying to encourage them. I don't know, just take care of their mental
Which
health.
is huge
It's
that you do that
important.
too. Cause like you just said, like parents are so like, I've talked about it a lot too. It's like seeing how different, and a lot of like my shit is like self-inflicted too, I think, but seeing the difference like versus my dad versus me when it comes to hanging out and like just, or like just processing emotions, like is so night and day different. But seeing how over emotional and like now as I've gotten like older and older and being more self-aware, being, I've always been like a very emotional guy. Even if I've come across like that hasn't
relatable.
Been the case, right? Like
yeah.
It's always been there. So and it's like, yeah, like there are good things to that, absolutely. But sometimes like I do get this feeling like that I'm not tough enough to like to exist here. Like I'm not hard enough of a dude to get through a lot of this shit, which like obviously still standing here clearly like we both are because we've made it to this point right here. But seeing the difference where like how I process things versus my dad, where it's like my dad's just like the typical, like seeing where he's gotten to, because he like years ago it was like the tough shit, get over it, like
mm-hmm.
like work still sucks, I'll be here tomorrow, you know what I mean? Like that's
yep.
Like that attitude where it's like, oh, I'm like having a crisis, like can we talk about this? And then there were so many years where he just, where there was no empathy, because he's like, I want to feel for you and I want to empathize with you, but he's like, I can't, I have no idea how, like I have no idea how or why you're feeling the way you do. He's like, I'm just gonna mm-hmm. be honest, I have no idea what that's like. He's like,
that's
just
big though.
And so now what we've gotten to, because I've been so over emotional, it's so much different to where he is able to, because it's way more of a safer place. Cause like I never met my grandpa Augenbaugh, but like, I always tell my dad where, especially like I would have loved him as I was a kid, but as I got older and like kind of realized who more of who I was, I tell him all the time, and like, maybe I get to meet him one day, but I was like, realistically, I don't think like me and your dad would have gotten along. Like mm-hmm. I'm just gonna keep it a buck with you. Like I think he was too much of a hard ass. And like I said, maybe I'm wrong, but from all the things he's told me about, it's one of those things where I just don't think him and I would have saw eye to eye on anything. And seeing how hard it's been for my dad, just like, cause like that whole generation, dude, is just like in no man's land. Like,
yeah, it's so different.
It's
such
wild.
A disconnect from them to us.
And seeing
really
him,
is.
Seeing him adjust and like kind of like basically shed all of his like extremely high, tough walls that he's put up, is, it's definitely a huge thing to see. And I think like I'm not gonna like play like the hero in that, but I think it's me being over emotional that like kind of forced him to kind of look in within himself a lot. So it's one of those things where like people are able to change, like because it's crazy. Seeing my mm-hmm. dad be as open with his emotions as he is at times is, it's wild. Cause I mean, props to him too. Cause I mean, 60 years old, that fucking ancient relic, dude, it's, I mean, like there's, I see it so, so heavily how stuck in like their ways they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so for them to change anything is such a wild concept. So I don't know if you've dealt with that at all with your parents, just kind of like, I know you've always been like a very, like to yourself, or like, just, I feel like you've always just been like super in touch with yourself, like
yeah, I mean,
emotion wise. And I mean, obviously I think we all adapt and like it gets better and more in tune as we get older. But I don't know if you've kind of maybe seen a similar thing within your parents, or like maybe something's kind of adjusted in that aspect with you guys at all.
It's, progress is always nonlinear. You know, my dad will take big leaps, and then he'll take some steps back. He does a better job. He was, you know, with everything that kind of went on this year, he was always in my corner on everything. And there was a couple times he was just like, it's like, Dad, you know, like, I'm super depressed. Like, you know, the thought of taking my life is there, you know, constantly. And so I was talking to him about that. And he's just like, dude, come on, like, don't think like that. And, you know, I had to have like a heart to heart like, Dad, I don't want to feel this way. Like, it took a lot to even, you know, reach out to you and be vulnerable with you.
Right.
And can you just kind of try to understand? And, you know, he was just like, yeah, for sure. And so, you know, we've come a lot further there. As far as my mom goes, she was always in my corner growing up. You know, I remember telling her about, you know, not feeling too great, and she made me appointments for things. You know, she took me in, she understood it, was on my ass about taking my meds, you know, all that good mom stuff. But I don't know, we've drifted away a little bit lately, and that's just kind of what you have to do. Sometimes you just have to establish those soft boundaries
right.
with people that, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about her. Sometimes we just don't see eye to eye on things. So, but
perfectly normal, but yeah. Too.
Yeah. And I mean, that's about it. I mean, yeah, I would agree. I've always been pretty in touch with my emotions. And lately it's just been about checking my ego at the door.
Right.
A lot of people think your ego is this like cocky, shitty person, but it's also you identifying with your sadness and like allowing that to just be your identity, because your ego finds comfort in that. It's something to latch onto. And, you know, when I am sad, I feel it. I observe the emotions and I let them go through me, and fuck, sometimes they're there for a couple of days, you know?
Right.
And, but I try not to give them meaning, and I just let them go. A big part of counseling that I've liked to implement is radical acceptance. This
Huge.
Is how it is. And I can't change anything about that. The things I can control, I can continue to. But this feeling, I just have to accept it and keep moving and understand that, you know, with utilizing my time the right way, it'll go away. So.
Dude, yeah, that's huge.
I mean, that's a big part of that Eckhart Tolle book too, just checking your ego at the door and disconnecting from that.
Right. Yeah, I know I'm the one fucking bullshitting a lot more than I probably should be on this, but
bullshit all you want. It's your
right.
Craft.
Yeah, thank you, dude. Ego has definitely been a big part of this last year, a big part of the journey, like, has definitely, like what you just said, like leaving ego at the door. It's, I still see like the struggles that I deal with when it comes to like dealing with like weird short temper on like certain things and like reacting right away. I've gotten so much better, I think, at taking that couple seconds after like listening to something, or instead of just being like being shitty like right away, like a quick response, like taking like that little bit of a breath and then like waiting like 4 seconds, just be like, we are not a child anymore. Like, we don't need to just keep, just because like we're not in the best mood right now, we don't need to do this to this innocent person that doesn't need to catch the shitty attitude for no reason. You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's been such a huge struggle for me, and not even realizing it, like how easily I could just shoot a shitty reply back, or just, you know, be irritated and let it be very obvious that like whatever someone just said to me is fucking infuriating. Like, and it's just like, dude, like I think I'm a pretty good like actor when it comes to brushing a lot of that stuff off, but man, I feel like I feel like a lot of this last year has been just kind of trying to stay like way more in a flow state versus just like, which maybe I'm just like rambling at this point too, but you know, fuck
no,
it. It's my podcast, dude. You know what I mean? Let's just
run it.
Sometimes we just rant, dude. And so, but it sometimes like for me, I guess it's like, the flow state, just trying to like Because like we have so many thoughts throughout the day, like so much of it is just like, especially where I'm sitting at right now, like I'm not at a job that I want to be at. Sometimes I'm debating if I'm even like where I want to be living. Like I mm-hmm. said, I've always had like 1 foot out of everything for like a majority of my adult life. You know, like I was always, you know, like when I was still back in Byron before I first left, I had 1 foot out once I had the plans to go to Wyoming. So it was always like, oh, like it doesn't like my, I get to escape soon. So like, you know, I have something to look forward to. And then once I was in Wyoming, it was always, you know, 1 foot was out because it was like, oh, I'm moving to Arizona after this. And then once I was back in Arizona, then the motivation was, oh, like I'm leaving for Wyoming again soon. And once I was in Wyoming again, it was, oh, like I still get to have 1 foot out because I'm going back to Arizona again soon. So it's like,
what would it take to have 2 feet in a place?
I honestly don't know. And I think a lot of it comes with this false security of like thinking that I need to find like my wife or something before but at the same time, like I'm really not in. I almost feel like where I'm at right now in life, like if I honestly did meet the person I'm supposed to be with, I would question everything about it because of all the work that I'm doing right now and how important and how this needs to be done now. Like the work that I'm doing right now is like needs to be such a high priority to where it's like, even if I did meet somebody, it's like, man, dude, like I would still question everything about it. And I think like that's, if I'm being real,
right person, wrong time.
Right. And I think I've ran into that scenario, like an annoyingly too many amount of times, like throughout like my 20s. And so it's like, but that's why like taking a huge step back, you know, from everything, so fully 2 weeks sober now. Off of booze and weed, which is huge, dude.
That is huge. Congrats, dude.
Thank you, dude. And it's just like, now I'm finding it. I think I brushed on it a little bit in the episode yesterday, but it's like, I'm almost finding it harder to, it's almost like I'm looking for more, like looking for reasons to be sad now. Cause like my mood is like, has changed. Like the dynamic of my brain, I think, is changing. And so it's like, that's awesome. But then, you know, like completely cutting out like porn and then like just like backing off of all of that is such a shock to the system in a good way. Obviously, like the benefits are starting to pay off, but it's like, man, it's sitting in that. And but yeah, it's like I really have no, that's, if I had to be honest, like that mixed with like not really knowing what I want to do. So it's like having, like thinking that I have to have this perfect combo of like finding my perfect person. And then also at the same time, like doing what I would love to be doing. And so it's like, I think I've always had this delusion of like, I got to find who I'm supposed to be with first before I start chasing my dreams, where it's like, logically, where the fuck does that even make sense?
Right.
Why, like,
right.
Why
when
do
you say it out loud? Like,
why do I? Yeah, it sounds insane when I say it out loud. And every time I say that to myself, it's like, what do I need? Like, obviously, I cannot wait like for the future to be married and have kids. Like, that's a very real goal of mine. Like, it's something that I want. Like, but anytime in this near future, like I'm almost terrified if that even became a thing. And so I think a lot of the struggles that I dealt with was, yeah, having the 1 foot out was always the sweet escape. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I could never really get too tied down to anything, person or like job wise. Like I could just use that as my excuse to be able to bail out the back door. Cause like, there was always a time stamp on like, oh, I'm only here for how long until the next thing that I can run away to where it's like, now that I was, and I think that's why the whole fire thing weighed on me so heavy, was because I think that was going to solidify me like for sure here where I was for the foreseeable future. You know what I mean? So it's like, I thought I was really like locking myself into where it was like, finally, you know, like I thought finally, I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is where I'm supposed to be going. this is where I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to build something from this, and then not getting it, and then basically fucking the second part of it up to not get it again. It was just like that. Then it made me unravel so much more, because it was like, what the fuck was the point of all the work? You know what I mean? Like, and I know, like, now I'm kind of rambling again, but it's like,
no, you're good. You're good.
It was, there was so much that I think that I questioned there, where it was like, man. So then I remember, and I still deal with it a little bit now. Now it's like that I've put in a lot more work on myself, and I'm becoming a lot more grounded and solid, like solid in who I am. Now it's different, where I'm kind of debating, like, kind of entertaining, like, potentially, like, maybe Idaho with a good buddy of mine that I met through my EMT class, like, for just like something different, like, career wise, and like, and then at the same time, potentially, like, moving to like a number of different states that I've always wanted to, because that option's still there. And then still, like, now, after talking to my counselor, just getting traveling back in my head, the potential of going overseas to finish school, because that would be a huge opportunity. And, you know, so once that didn't happen, then now that I'm faced with all these potentials, I'm almost now scared to lock both feet in again. So, like, I'm almost like actively fighting against that all, like, every day now again, which I like for no reason. But
why don't you do both? Lock the feet in. Lock the feet in where you're at. Regroup, get them back in there, because otherwise you're not living in the moment, you know?
Right.
Like, those things are great goals to have. You know, I encourage you to find a way to go to Germany. How neat would that be?
Insane.
I encourage you to go to Idaho and do these things, but I think you might always experience that feeling of what's next if you don't root those feet, you
right.
know? And build them on a strong foundation, because then it'll just make the next move that you want to do even more solid. And then you can plant both feet there and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of it is just fear-based. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's where, like, I think I've been trying to really grind and work on that with my counselor now, because, like, I don't know where it comes from. That's the most frustrating thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know where that stems from. If I'm like being real with myself, like, maybe it's just the fear of, I think a lot of it might be the fear of seeing my parents basically, like, fall out of love. You know what I mean? Like, now, obviously, there's still a lot of love there. They still have maintained the marriage, but sometimes, like, that's not the best. Sometimes that's the worst option. You know what I mean? Like, staying together for the kids isn't always, like, super good for the kids, because it gives them a very jaded sense of what love is supposed to be, when, like, realistically, if it's not there anymore, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So it's, no, like,
that is, you know, that's deep, because I see these old people that have been married 65 years,
right.
And then I see these other ones that are all alone. You know, they don't even have kids anymore. And I think with how you love and your emotional intelligence with other people, I think that's something you might not have to worry about. You know, in my marriage, the reason it ultimately ended was addiction on my end and complacency. I got comfortable. Oh, she, you know, she's never going to leave, you know,
we're
comfortable here. And you know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't taking her out to romantic dinners. I wasn't spoiling her and her love language.
Right.
I was just completely complacent, glued to my phone, you know, glued to gaming, things that I've stepped back from for the most part. I mean, I still game, you know, I still am on my phone, but I developed a healthier relationship with that stuff. And, you know, the other thing is understanding. There's this beautiful song I love. It's called "The Key to Love is Understanding." And I think that's a huge thing too. I think sometimes there's a lack of understanding between both parties and their needs and wants. And I don't think that would be something you could even worry about right now, because I think when you find the one, you'll know. And then, yeah, you just can't get complacent. And that, you know, that ruined mine. So that was definitely a tough thing for me to realize, you know, but there's no animosity there. We butt heads from time to time, and, you know, we talk from time to time, and Nothing but good things to say about her. So,
yeah, of course. And it goes back to, like, I think what I touched on. What I touched on in my episode yesterday was kind of the same thing, where it's like, if it's like I said, I think, because going back to touch on it too, I think it's so important that I just really stay down. I'm not like blocking any blessings or closing any doors, like, opportunity wise. But at the same time, it's like, I think I've overly prioritized finding my person for a majority of my life. And then it just, like, clearly, like, a lot of the same issues are showing up. So it's like, okay, like, let's actually take a step back and figure out where the fuck these come from. And then let's go from there. So it's like, I'm never going to, like, cut out that opportunity or close that door. But at the same time, I think, like, it needs to be, like, way more of a priority of, like, really figuring out, like, what my issues are and getting to the root of those. And so that's huge. But yeah, it's also just, like, kind of erasing the fact of, like, because I don't know if I deal with it too, where it's like that, like, I'm such a hopeless romantic in ways where it's like, the, you go to the grocery store and it's like, you see, like, some smoke in the grocery store, and it's just like, is she gonna, like, are we
is
gonna,
she
like,
the one?
Yeah, are we gonna stare, like, at each other for an awkward amount of time and then, like, hit it off with a conversation, or like is something gonna, like, she gonna, like, I'll be walking in that aisle for some dumb shit, and then she'll ask me to reach up and grab something for her. We hit it off in a conversation. Just like, I feel like I always looked for those moments, like, throughout a majority of my life, and I think I've exhausted myself doing that, where it's just like, it's just like, dude, like, I'm almost so over it. And not like I said, not like closing that door, or like shutting that off, but it's just like, I need to stop, like, over romanticizing so many things, like, in my life, because it's almost kind of jaded my sense of that, mixed with, like, the troubled shit with, like, my parents' marriage, like, that whole thing. Because, like, I think a lot of that fear stems from seeing my parents be where they were, like, building, like, having such a solid, like, marriage. And then as things just, like, slowly started to, like, they had their, like, just like every couple, dude, they had their issues over time and they got through it. But it's like, I'm horrified now that it's like, whoever I meet and dedicate my life to now, are they gonna, like, drop off and, like, have the same issues that, like, I'm watching my mom go through right now? And then, like, is that, like, you know, they've been together for 32 years now. And then it's just, but it's just like, they're not this, it's almost just like, it's that fear of being like, is that person even going to be, you know, am I even going to want that person, you know, 30 years down the line? Like, that's terrifying to me, like, to build a family with someone and, like, not be able to, like, to hold that together. Like, both of you change so much, it falls out. Like, that fucking scares me, man. Like, scares me bad.
I think it's like, a fair thing to be scared about. Absolutely. But I mean, I think you can apply that logic to quite a few things, man. Like, what if you guys get together and, man, you know, oh, somebody has cancer, or, like, oh, you know, miscarriage, like, just sad, unfortunate things. And it's like, but what if everything goes perfect?
Right. And I think that's where a lot of it's been jaded, is because I've basically stiff armed the what if it could be perfect part. You know what I mean? Like, I've stiff armed that part in a lot of, like, relationships that I've been in, just being like, yeah, like, it's going to crumble at some point. And then, like, when it does, like, no fucking shit, is because that's, like, what I'm going into it with, like, just riding it until the wheels fall off, instead of just being able to, like, be more solid in who I am as a man and as a person. And, like, not necessarily, like, cause I knock myself down all the time about, like, my flaws, when in reality, a lot of my flaws are what make me, like, as dope of a person as I am. But it's getting to switch that mindset, though, man. You know what I mean? It's like, that's tough to do.
It is. It's like the people I see, you know, they're all worried about dying, you know, they get approaching end of life, and it's so hard to tell them, don't think about that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. All their friends are passing. They don't have any family anymore, except maybe some kids. And, but it, I don't know. It's just one of those things, I think, that takes practice. I don't think anybody can perfect, you know, acceptance or, you know, reframing things overnight. It's one of those things where you have to like actively feel the bad thought come in and then actively replace it with another good thought.
Right.
And it'll trick you.
Right. And it's just like, it's such a huge thing about like how, like reading these books and doing all this internal work is like, I think I've had such a habit like of being miserable for so long. Like it's like what I just told you earlier about like how like the getting the just the slight time being sober and like really prioritizing myself, like legit finding it harder. Like it's almost I gotta try to be sad now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is weird and uncomfortable to me because like a majority of my life like has sad been like down and sad, like and questioning a lot about myself and like and then I don't like if anyone's even still listening at this point, it's, I don't know if you deal with it too. It's the societal pressure for me too, of like, anytime I sign on to fucking anything, dude, I get exhausted with these couples that like, that look so dope together, that they look so happy. Like they look like they're the perfect match. And then, I look on Facebook, everyone my age, like they're either getting the promotion or they're
second kid.
Yeah, they're getting in. They're getting further, pushing further in the career that they dove into. They're getting pregnant with their first kid. They're about to have their second kid. Getting married, like going on these trips with like the love of their lives. And I know so much of that is like, who's gonna show the bad shit? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's gonna do that. So like, duh. Like, and it's so nice and awesome seeing all these people like do all these cool things with their lives. But I'm one of those people where like, I sit back and it's like, am I just going to end up being like the cool kind of weird uncle that smokes weed out in Arizona? Like, I don't know. Like, and like, obviously if that's like what my life comes to, like, I'm obviously going to accept that role because my sister just gave birth to twins the other day. So,
oh, congrats.
So fine. Thank you, dude. So finally two nieces, two nephews, and then shout out to obviously is it a niece-in-law technically? Is that what it would, or
we can just, roll with it.
Yeah. A niece too? I don't know.
Group it together.
My other niece, Lexi, is just like, it's just one of those things where, I mean, that like, I know like having kids and shit changes your lives, but like having all of these nieces and nephews like has been like a huge life changing moment for me. Cause it's just like, if I'm not setting a good example and being real with who the fuck I am, then when they get older, how can I feel real and okay with like giving them like real advice about shit that I've been through, you know what I mean? So like, that's been a huge cause and a change of like an adjustment of behavior and who I've been.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's for them. Cause like, that's a lot of what I have right now versus like all my friends and stuff. Like, those are the closest thing to kids I'll have for probably a long time. So, but it's, I just like, it's
fair to consider it that way. Right. But you also think, you know, I feel like you can get a strong understanding of somebody like relationship wise where you could want to marry them if everything was good, you know, in a year or so. Then say, you know, you have the wedding, all this stuff, within 3 years you could technically have a kid on the way. And it, you know, right, that feels so long, but I don't know, it's like 1/10 of your life if you turn 30, so it's not like too bad. And I think what you're doing right now is just going to lay the foundation for being a better dad. I don't think you're going to be the cool pot smoking uncle in Arizona, but I mean,
part of me almost kind of
cool pot smoking dad.
Part of me almost kind of fucks with that role though.
I mean, it is pretty hard. Yeah.
It kind of goes hard. It's like, yo, dude, he fucking shreds the piano and the guitar, and we don't have an aunt, but Uncle Drake has a cool house with a pool.
Uncle Drake holds it down, man.
Yeah. He has a cool car. And he invites us out all the time and we love going to hang out with him. So it's like, but that's the other thing too. We're like, it's like going back to radical acceptance. It's like, is that like realistically like where I see myself and like where I want to be in the future? No, but it's like, if that's what happens, that's what fucking happens. You know what I mean? To where it's like, I can't force anyone. Like, being Mrs. Augenbaugh is a big responsibility, dude. Like
it big, you know, big shoes there,
big shoes to fill. So it's like, and it's just like, there's no like rush to settle down and get like married, obviously. Cause like, there's obviously, I know like right now there's so much priority in the work that's happening now, but it's, yeah, it's just like, dude, like I only want to do it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'll exhaust that. If I got to go my whole life with like not ever finding that person, but like, you know, met a bunch of amazing people along the way, then so be it. And it's just like, that's just going to be a part of my story. But it's just
I'm
like,
hoping
also,
to do it twice.
There you go, dude. Second time. Well, let's do it. You know what? Let's do it another time. Let's do it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like that. Yep. It's just like that Tim Dillon quote where when he used to sell mortgages, where he was like, let's do it once. Let's do it right. And he's like, you said, let's do it once. Let's do it right. He's like, let's do it. Let's do it again. Let's do it better.
Yep.
So it's just like, but yeah, it's like, it's, and I know I'm not crazy because I know so many other people like this shit's like on their mind, dude. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. we're being bombarded by society all the time to be like already find your person, like already be in your career. And it's just like, dude, I love the fact right now that like, I don't have an obligation to respond to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a kid that's crying in the other room. And with potentially somebody that like I'm not supposed to be with for forever either, like that, like it just, it's all a big can of worms where it's like, dude, like I love sitting and playing video games for hours without having to talk to anybody. Like I love watching whatever the fuck I want to watch on YouTube for hours on end and not have to worry about like if anyone else doesn't want to watch it or whatever. Like I love that that Noah and I just fucking rot and watch football all day on Sundays. And like, I don't like have any real responsibilities, like that type of shit. And it's just like, for the time being, like that's what's working right now. And I have like no rush to like really derail what's happening right now. So it's like, and I think a lot of people are obviously worried and stressed about the same shit, but a lot of people won't talk about it. And it's just like with me, like I'm an open book, dude. I'm going to be dead in what, fucking 60 more
years,
26 more years. Maybe. Right. I have no idea. Like,
yeah,
whatever form of, you know, something we're going to get from whatever we're eating now. Like, it's just like, dude, I got like maybe max 80 years, depending on how, cause I know modern medicine's going to get crazy as we all get older. Like we all might realistically like live till we're all 110, depending on how good this shit gets. But
would you want to?
I don't know. It depends on how much I'm able to function. Like if I'm a vegetable, no, like
I just think our brains will always deteriorate. And so that's like my thing. Like I
don't think it's sustainable. Like over that amount of time.
I mean, I'm not in the medical field, so, right. You know, somebody watching this might be like, or listening to this might be
yeah,
like,
who's this fucking
shut
idiot?
The fuck up, dude.
Who's this idiot? You didn't go to 12 years of school.
But I just think, that'll be a hard thing to get down. You know, I see people, I think we have like a, you know, late 60s, early 70s. You see a lot of people in that age range that are getting dementia, getting Alzheimer's. Right. And it's like, wow, like, do I really... Because if I had the option, two pills in front of me, die at 65, decent, you know, decent little death, die at 94, but I have dementia and I'm fighting nursing staff. Like,
I think I might roll the dice dip and take the 65 clock out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's where I don't know if you, it's like, I get real on my own shit about, just like, you know, being too much, being over emotional. And sometimes I really sit and I think about it. It's like, am I really like, if I'm on my deathbed in 60 years, am I really going to sit back and be like, man, I was a lot for some people? Like, fucking no.
No, I don't think so.
Like, am I really going to sit back and be like, man, like, am I like, when you and me are, you know, flirting with nurses when we're rotting away in a nursing home together, hopefully in the same room, like
that'd be pretty cool.
Are we gonna be sitting there and being like, man, like, am I gonna be like laying in that bed and be like, man, I was too open, it was like cringeworthy on a podcast with Jason back when we were in our, you know, mid late 20s? Like, fucking no, dude. Like,
no.
Like this, and this is hardly going to be seen by anybody and listened to by anybody. And like, obviously over time, hopefully it builds and we'll always have this here. I can't wait to go back and look at these, you know, 20 mm-hmm. years in the future and be like, man, I've been a psycho for forever.
That's like, yeah, it's nothing new.
Yeah. Yep. Like it's just, I've been insane for a long time, but it's like, that's where I always try to kind of like, just always kind of with that. It's just coming back to like the radical acceptance thing with what you were saying. It's sometimes I get so hung up on, I even cringe and I'm a little bit embarrassed about like how open I've been on this one and on yesterday's podcast, but it's just like, dude, like who fucking cares?
It's been such a good conversation of, you know, vulnerable points on each side. And I think that's kind of what it's all about. Like we're not celebrities, like some of these people on the podcast, we already know everything about them.
Right.
And so, being vulnerable and sharing those moments with you have been great, you know, and you already,
right.
Shit. We talk numerous times a week.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of back and forth there, but no, I don't think you will look back at this. And I think you'll look back at this time in your life and just remember the growth because, right. You know, friend to friend, you've made a lot of good growth this year. Obviously there's setbacks.
Of course.
Progress is always nonlinear. And
right.
So, but you're the first person I reach out to with like mental health things. You have a good understanding of it. And I don't think anything you've ever said is cringe. I think it's like real.
Thanks. Thank you, yeah. Dude. I appreciate that. But yeah, no, same to you, dude. It's one of those things where the fact that, you know, you have, and I guess I think you and I could probably have like a ton more people join this and roll it off kind of the same way. But yeah, like we have such a good back and forth to where it's like, every time I talk to you, it is a very safe environment where it's like, I'm never going to be, you know, judged or like I'm saying to you, like, just never like there. I never feel like I'm being cringe with you in the same way too. So it's like, it is a very safe feeling and it's a very underrated aspect between like two guy friends. You know what I mean?
Would say
like,
so.
And I have this relationship like with like a good amount of buddies of mine, similar to like mine and yours, but it's something that is like so needed. And it's so, especially going back to today's society, it's something that is just like almost frowned upon for some reason. I'm just like, dude, like if you're a guy and like, we're cool and I get a vibe where I could never have this kind of like conversation with you, like what we just had today, it's like,
mm-hmm.
then it's just like, I'm like not even thinking that I'm better. It's just like, obviously I've looked more at myself and I've been able to kill more of my ego and elevate a little bit more, I guess. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like the way I put that, 100% but it's like,
makes sense. Yeah. You're not better than anybody,
no.
But like you're
they're not as aware
of yourself. Yeah. Is good.
I guess if I had to put that. So it's like, but yeah, it's something that I definitely struggle with. Cause like every time I run into like a super macho, like alpha dude, I immediately am just like, I'm like, man, I'm like, who hurt you?
And who like, dude, this guy?
Yeah. And I'm just like, I've been right where you are, dude. Like there is light on the other side. Like you mm-hmm. don't need to be acting and talking like this.
Right.
And it's just like, and I can already tell with a lot of them, like I can get along with so many people. That's just off of like charisma and personality. But it's just like, man, it's like, I get like, that nervous feeling in your gut, like you just bombed a test, I think is like the closest thing I can compare it to. Or like when they put the test in front of you and you don't know any of like the first like answers on the first page that you see.
And you keep flipping until you find one.
You're right. I get that same feeling when like I'm around somebody like to where it's like, oh, like I could never fully be myself and be open and vulnerable around this person. Like they would like make fun of me. Like I shudder. Around people that like give me the vibe that I can't be open and vulnerable around them. Like that's scary. That shit scares me.
Right. Yeah.
That shit
a lot
scares
of people
me.
Put on a persona and then it's like, oh fuck. Well, I can't really be me around this person. And that's like a cool thing. A lot of my friends, you know, they weren't that way. I don't know if it was their upbringing, but I eventually just started being vulnerable around them. And now they've been able to be more vulnerable with me as well. And, you know, call me when they're crying and let me know something's up. And I'm like, please do this every time.
Right.
You know, I'm not a counselor, but I'm here to listen and provide feedback for you. And so yeah, that I do appreciate that in a friendship for sure. A vulnerable, safe spot to cry, laugh, everything in the middle. We're so much more complex than we give ourselves.
Dude, human beings just like overall are nuts. It's one of those things where looking at that, like in the grand scheme of things, like it's a trip. And I hope I can just continue to just build that relationship with like not even just guys, just more and more people, because I have so many like dope girlfriends that like it's the same thing. Like showing them that like there are plenty of guys out there that are able to have these conversations where it's like, you know, it's not easy for a lot of us to get to this point. I think it was easier for me. I've always been like an emotional bitch anyway. So it's like I already had like the foundation to go off of that. I've always been a big crier. Like I've always been, you know, I've always been just like in tune with that side. And like I fought it for so long because I was like, man, like I'm just not strong enough to be like, or I'm not strong enough to be a man. Yeah. Like that was like a lot of it. A lot of it was such that internal struggle of being like, man, like why am I so fucking emotional? But I know it's for the greater good. And I know like it is, as time goes on, it is going to be a benefit and an asset.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Cause you'll be an emotional dad, an emotional partner.
Right.
And a lot of people don't like to show emotion, and I think it only brings two people closer together.
I agree. I've almost found it easier. Like what we said about like showing vulnerability with people. It's the same thing with like a lot of my friends where I never thought I'd see like that side of them. And like I said, I don't think that I'm like the direct cause of it, but I think it gave them like that feeling of safety, being like, oh, this is a guy that, you know, either like maybe in some cases I'm the older one, some cases like I don't really think of myself as like super like macho, but like, so I think I give this like allure to some people that I am. I think that's just like confidence and charisma. Like I've always had that. Like growing up as like an ugly, as an ugly kid, dude, it was a survival option was to be funny and add some sort of value.
Right.
Or just be like cast off into exile. So it's like, then, you know, as you get older and you start to get taller, fill out a little bit more, like facial hair comes in, and then, you know, you got your teeth fixed and you keep good, you take good care of them. And it's just like, then it's like all this stuff. It's like, cause I've had this thing where I've ran into, like, I've always been a very openly goofy, funny guy. And for these very like few cases of these like macho guys, especially like after drinking, I rub them the wrong way sometimes. Like, and it's not even anything that like I'm directly doing. It's just like I'm having a good time and enjoying myself, and then like they get like irritated.
It's almost like they just don't. They're envious of your fun and enjoyment.
And like I said, I'm trying to say that like in the most like humbling way possible. Like a lot of these, like it's not me being like, oh, I'm so cool, I'm so awesome. It's like there are these like very few instances where I've had to kind of de-escalate a situation because some dude that's had a little bit too much to drink, which not knocking him there. I have been that guy who has had too much to drink so many times, like throughout my time drinking. So it's like, but then like, I'll just be myself and be a goofy bastard. And next thing you know, it's like that I can clearly tell like there's an issue between me and this other. And it's just like, I didn't even do anything or say anything to you. Like, why are you getting after me, dude? Like, I'm just laughing, having fun, playing Quiplash. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are you trying to, like, get in my
Not
face?
Not Quiplash.
Yeah, oh, dude. And funny. It's just like, because, like, the prime, like, and I'll just bring it up right now. Like, I won't even air it out, or I don't even know the guy's name. But I remember a couple months ago, Noah and I went over to a friend's house. And this was the first time Noah had met any of these people. And so most of them I knew. There were like one or two people there that I hadn't known, but we started playing whatever the card game is, where every card has a as a rule or whatever, and then you put it in underneath the can, the thing oh, you put it underneath. It. So it's super fun game. And one of the things that we did was I drew whatever card that where you get to make a rule for till someone else draws that card to make a new rule. And my rule was anytime you talked to somebody, you had to raise your hand and then talk. And there's this dude at the table that I had met that night and seemed like a nice guy. No issues at all. But I had shown, like, as the game kind of went on, I had noticed, like, cause like we're all not dumb. Like you kind of notice like who's been drinking a little bit longer than others, I think.
Right.
And so I had kind of like picked up like, okay, like this guy's kind of given a little bit of like attitude to almost every rule where me like being funny and like joking, someone didn't raise their hand. And I still had the rule. And so like jokingly, I was like, oh, didn't raise your hand. Like that's a drink. And this dude had enough of me. And I just was like, and so he leans over to Noah and he's like, you'll have to ask, I'll have to have Noah on and tell the story. Cause I can't remember what he said, but like openly it. At the table, he like leans over to Noah who's sitting right next to me and is like, don't you just want to like beat the shit out of this guy or something like that? And like, I don't think the guy knew that Noah and I like are best friends and I showed up together.
Yeah. Bad audience.
And so sure. I just remember like, and it wasn't quiet either. And I'm sitting like a person over. I was like, you're a really bad whisperer. And I just was like, I just remember like hearing that and just being like, well, I mean, like I still have the rule. So like, that is the game. I'm not, and right. Like, and when I said, it'd be one thing if I was like, nope, like you didn't raise your hand. Like that's a drink. And I just was like, ah, like the whole vibe of the table was fun. Except this guy.
Yeah,
I just like, oh, I like didn't raise your hand. That's a drink. And then I just hear two people over like, don't you want to beat the fucking shit out of this guy? And I just was like,
damn, I was just trying to have fun.
I was just like, I mean, someone else draw a card and make a new rule then, dude. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm playing the game. And then then shortly after, like it became he became an issue with like more of the party. So it obviously wasn't just a me thing, but I definitely was the spark.
Yep.
Hey, I was a spark.
A spark.
And I found shit like that has happened, and it's only because I'm just like very comfortable being like goofy, like maybe a little bit flamboyant at times. I don't know, just very comfortable in my skin, dude. Like it's being fun funny, just not being very comfortable, and like sometimes like that like irritates people and rubs in the wrong way, and it's just like I thought we were having fun, but okay, like.
Yeah, some people just don't get it.
That's an issue within him that obviously he needs to work on. So it's like I never like took it to heart, and I didn't really take it that seriously. But it was one of those things where it's like, I mean, over a drinking game. But it, like, hopefully, like I said, old me would be like, fuck that loser. Like I hope I never see him again. But like me now, like obviously seeing that, like. He's clearly struggling with something within himself that like I obviously me being comfortable within who I was and being confident triggered him in some way. And so it's like, hopefully he's been able to kind of back off. Maybe like, I don't know if he's like still like the same kind of drinker, but maybe hopefully he's kind of taken that step back and maybe has worked on himself. Cause clearly there's something missing within him there. To where it's like, I hope he's able to find that. So it's like, but old me would be like, oh yeah, that fucking loser. So yeah. It's like, is this like, it's like developing that maturity to be like, oh, it's something that they're going through. And that's why he reacted like that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. I also saw this video kind of about that. It was a popular TikTok video. I'm sure you've seen it, but they interviewed this random kid and he was just like, you can't attribute to malice what can be attributed to incompetence. And that's just like a
great quote.
That's been huge for me too, just like not taking things personal. Like in that situation, I could probably see myself getting that little like worked up fight or flight feeling, you know, if somebody said that about me.
Oh my god, dude, same.
Back. Yeah, and you just like step back same. And you're like, dude's not reading the room, one, not getting it, could have some issues with alcohol and anger, and it's just like, we're just gonna leave it be. I'll live.
Right. And it was just one of those things where I haven't seen the guy since. And it, like I said, it wasn't just, I think I might've been the spark, but he got into it with more than just me after that whole thing had happened. Cause that kind of derailed the game a little bit. And mm-hmm. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like feeling empathy and feeling sympathy. Cause obviously there's something that he's struggling with and being like, man, I hope he's able to dial that in and kind of figure out what he needs to go through. And shit like that. And it's just like, it's getting to that point, and that's a huge step. And so it's like, cause it's also shown me more of like how I don't want to be. And I think a lot of that has helped, like with the quitting the drinking as of right now, I've gone through my phone and I've looked at videos of me fucked up. And just in 2 weeks of me not drinking, it's like, oh my fucking God, like that's what I sound like when I'm hammered. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, who the fuck wants to even be around that, man? I'm like, and I'm trying not to like be so hard on myself with it, but oh my God. Cause it's like at the same time, like I can't sit here and say that I'm going to be sober for forever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's what's going to be, but for the time being, for right now, like it's definitely,
today you are.
Yeah, it's definitely the right move. And it's definitely, the biggest thing when I started it with my counselor telling me to start it, like, the biggest thing I kept telling myself was, I mean, the worst that happens is I get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty good worst case scenario. Like,
yeah,
I can deal with the loss of social life, the knock of a social life, like the adjusting and going from there. And just until I get a healthier relationship with her to maybe ever get back to it. But yeah, I mean, right now it's just, it's proving all the things right of stopping it. So I'm just going to keep rolling with it for now.
I think that's all we can do, man. I'm proud of you for making that realization and moving forward with it. I mean, it's not an easy thing. I see my issues with it too. And, you know, I'm thinking about drinking tomorrow. So it's just one of those things.
Like I said, yeah. Also enjoy yourself too. Like you're going home. Like it's, and especially like if where you're at right now, you're in an okay enough headspace and you can really, you know, not overdo it, then by all means, dude, let loose and have a good time. Cause that's what, like, I don't want people to think like that's the direction that I'm also taking it to, where it's like, oh, look at me, dude, 2 weeks sober. Like, look at you fucking losers that still drink. Like, that is,
no, not, I don't think
is,
so.
Like, that is never going to be me, dude. Like, no. I will always cherish the times that I've had a good relationship with alcohol, like, and how much fun I've had with it, and like the experiences I've gotten to go do and where I've been while being able to consume booze. And like I said, that's why eventually maybe I'll be able to get to a point where, you know, it won't potentially aid in derailing my life, because yeah, like the direction that it was heading was not a good one. So it's like, it's just having the awareness to stop it before it becomes a problem, or more of a problem, I should say, because I'm not going to sit here and say that it wasn't a problem, mm-hmm. but yeah, getting to a point where having the self-awareness to stop it. And I stopped it cold turkey too. Same thing with all the other stuff that I've cut out. So it's like just one of those things where my counselor told me, and I had already been sober for like almost a week when I saw him and he had that recommendation. Cause like I said, it was one of those things with me where it was like, something's got to change. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, so it's just one of those things where if you're considering doing it and you're listening to this, I would suggest just trying it, even if it's just for a month. Just go for a month sober and see what it does. See what different habits you pick up on. See what new things you learn and how your brain like changes and how your thoughts change and how your habits change. It's wild. And just in 2 weeks, it's been a huge help to me. And
good.
And like I said, maybe I get back to a point where I get back to maybe smoking or taking gummies or having, being able to have a drink or two and not let it, you know, escalate to where it was going before. And it's just, mm-hmm. and it's just taking the time right now. Cause like I said, even if I take a year off of drinking, like, did I lose anything? Like, no, like if anything, I just gain. I can always,
your liver thanked you.
Yeah, exactly. Like drinking isn't going anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's another thing too, where I don't know if you deal with it. And I think we'll probably wrap it up on this just because like,
yeah,
this has been so good and we've been killing it. It's going to be such a good
enjoying
long
myself.
Episode.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you, did you ever like really deal with like, and do you maybe still deal with like FOMO at all?
It depends, you know, like certain situations. Yeah. But I don't, It has to be something significant.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'll just use this as an example. Like, I was never really big on like Byron Fest or things like that. But there were some years I would be like, man, I wish I was there with all my buddies.
Right.
And like feeling left out, I think, is the big thing. But that's honestly kind of gone away.
I agree, because that was a big thing that I struggled with too, was
just
being like, I still deal with it. Like now seeing all my friends and still being able to go back home and hang out. But mm-hmm. I know like realistically for me, and I'm gonna let you keep letting it rip, because I think you're about to talk about some good things, but it's just like, it's one of those things where I just knew like, I like being back home just doesn't serve me. And like, if it's temporary and I get to see like my friends and my family, like obviously I can't wait to go back and see my nephews and nieces sooner rather than later. But realistically, like if I was able to see them every day, like I know I'd be worse off just because of what it'd be doing to me, like mental wise, because I know I'm not supposed to be around there. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, back to what you were saying.
No, that's completely relatable. I think I shut off the FOMO part of me, because every time I do go home, like I'm very excited to see my family and siblings. But dude, every time I go there, it's just like a different energy. I'm so happy where I'm at right now, where I live. And this is home now. Like, it feels weird calling Illinois home, but I guess, I mean, it'll always technically be where I'm from, but
right.
I don't, the only time I get FOMO now is just if I see my family all together and doing something. Otherwise, same. I don't really get it. Like, some of my buddies will get together, but we're all doing our own thing, where it's usually only like two or three of them together. And it's not like the whole gang's there and, right. you know, I'm not there. So it's a yes and no. The FOMO's definitely gone away. And I think that's just from kind of moving so young. I mean, when I was 19, I just moved up to Wisconsin, which isn't far, but it was 3 hours north.
Where'd you go? Whitewater?
Stevens Point.
Okay.
Yep. Right in the dead center of it all. And then, you know, I told myself the day I graduated college, I was going to move to Colorado. And the day I turned in my last assignment, I didn't even walk at my graduation. I moved to Colorado. And so like just being far away from people, I feel like has reduced my FOMO.
Yeah. Cause it's, I don't know if you ever struggle with it too, kind of piggybacking off of that. That was the biggest issue, I think, over everything, was how my inability to be alone. Not just like a romantic partner, like that was that's definitely been like a struggle up until like these last like very few like recent years, but like, oh my God, it was that like paralyzing fear of like sitting alone and like not hanging out with a friend or talking on the phone with a friend, where now it's like, now I definitely cherish that and I do need that at times, but like, man, I love being left the fuck alone. Like,
It was
so hard to get there, dude. It was so hard to get there. I was a polar opposite for so long. Like, for so long, I was like, man, I was like, I'm not doing good. So let me bother, you know, all my friends as much as possible. And you know, I got to be hanging out with a friend of mine or something. Like, I got to be distracted. Where now it's like, now I also struggle with like, I'm able to do that and be left alone and thank God. But now sometimes it almost goes overboard in the other direction, where it's like, mm-hmm. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to drag other people down with my down ass attitude right now, if I can't bounce back well enough. And so I don't know if you've dealt with like that kind of shit too. Cause like that was the toughest part, was adjusting to be able to figure out how to be alone and left the fuck alone and be all right. So
I would say so. And you know, the incredible thing about the move up to Stevens Point is, you know, I had Joy at that time. We were together. So because I remember when I first went up there, you know, I was a new student and she had already been there. So I had to go up early. And so I just remember the first 3 days, everyone's outside like the dorm, like partying, everyone's having a good time. It's like everyone's back at school, all that good shit. And I was just sitting in my dorm like, I fucking hate being alone right now. And, you know,
I don't mean to laugh, but it's so real. It's so real, dude. Oh my God.
And so, yeah, this year that was a big adjustment, man. You know, being alone and not really having the choice to not be alone. I leaned on Dom a lot, but he had his own relationship.
Right.
He was staying with that guy up in, 45 minutes away up the mountain pass. I have a piece of shit 2006 car. Like, it's not making that pass more than fucking four times. So, yeah. So yeah, that was a big adjustment. Just being alone this year, but I'm very comfortable with it now. I love going to get a, even just getting a beer by myself.
I was just going to say, you look like you've done just transformed that tenfold. I would have never guessed that from what I've seen, just most recently, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was just stepping out of my comfort zone. There's this cool bar up the street. I go there. I'll just, one night I was just like, fuck it. I've been in my house, for 3 months straight. I'm just going to go get a beer. And so I went up there, talked to people, and then it became more like, I love, there's this neat zoo by me. I'll just put in my AirPods and I'll go to the zoo alone.
That's awesome.
And check it out. Yeah, it's usually uncomfortable initially. And then I'm like, what am I worried about right now? There's right. No impending doom to being alone right now.
Right. There's no rush. I think that's a lot of people get that misconstrued. It is like there really is no rush, but that's the thing that society loves to do, dude. They we're all being played with.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all for greed and more gain. Like sex sells, that's just what it is, man. It's like you feel like a fucking loser. Like when you're sitting, alone and you got no bitches. And
right.
And you're just you're doing your thing. And it's that's obviously me saying that as a joke, but it's just there's a very real aspect to just sitting alone and not having anybody, not having a roster and not getting hit up and not being pursued. Sometimes you feel you're not fucking real.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, I've also weirdly found, cause it is tough, dude. And we'll definitely piggyback and continue off of it, but in a different episode, but it's just
sure.
You definitely disassociate. You don't feel real. If no one's after you, are you fucking real?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a lot of necessary work that needs to be done in that before you can be with somebody else. That's my biggest problem is I can't be somebody. Until I'm somebody for my fucking self, and I put it off for arguably 28 fucking years. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. Minus the first couple of years of our lives, but it's like no fucking duh, shit hasn't worked out, and I've also been a shithead on the other end of it too. And it's just because there's so much work that needs to be done, and that's the biggest thing is making that a priority. So
being self-aware,
right? And all we can do is like you said, it's. Progress is never linear. So it's, and we can just keep chipping away and going from there. But dude, anything that you want to close off on? Absolutely, dude. Thank you so much for doing this and getting me back on. This was such a good episode.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I don't have a whole lot to say at the end here. I just appreciate you taking the time to have this very good conversation. I just checked the clock. I'm like, holy shit, we've been over dude, here been chatting
for forever.
And it's so been good. Just so effortless and good. Yeah. And in closing, I just want to ask you, it's Thanksgiving week. This can be the leading up to it. Just give me something you're thankful for right now. I just want one thing.
One thing that I'm thankful for right now is just I guess I can sum it up just all the people that are currently in my life. I think honestly, I know that's more than one thing, but overall it's just, I have given, and I'll close it out with this. I have given so many people every reason in the book to no longer be in my life. And a lot of it has been not really being aware of that. And, it's a lot of those, it sucks, and I miss so many people that I'm not in contact with and don't talk to anymore, people that left my life or I've kind of backed out of other people's lives. It's, but that door, for me, even if I'm hated or whatever, that door for me is never really ever closed. And I hope people listen to this and realize that it's, people change, man. We get older, I'm living proof of this, right now on this fucking podcast. I was such a shithead a couple years ago, and it's just and the people that have stuck around, it goes in tandem, I guess. It's like the people that have left and the people that stuck around, like it's exactly how it's supposed to be, because if some of those people don't leave, like maybe I don't end up having the revelations that I've had to become who I am right now. Right. You know what I mean? Like maybe I end up being a little bit of a shithead for forever. I think we're all like a little bit of shitheads in our own way anyway, but
mm-hmm.
There is like, there's always a silver lining. And like, I miss so many people that like aren't in my life anymore. And like a lot of them like used to be close friends and it breaks my heart, but there's never any animosity. Like that type of shit's weird. Like praying on people's downfall and like, oh, like fuck you. Like, no, it's just like, if I have to love you from a distance, like that's just what it is. But that door's never closed. And like, I'm just so thankful for the people that have like really stuck it out and haven't gone anywhere. And it's just because like, I still deal with, feeling like I don't really deserve it. And like, I think that's where I just got to keep digging deep and finding where that comes from. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Cause obviously it's a work in progress, but yeah, I can't thank the people enough. Like you, just to rattle off a few, just like,
yeah, give them a shout
like,
out, man.
Yeah. Just Noah and Avery, like right off the top, dude, you, Connor Scomel, like all my boys back home, like Carl, Joe, Nunez, Reverts, Roland, Bass, like Austin Lovelady, like Daryl P, obviously he's been on here. So many like of my dope girlfriends that like, you know, like Fran, so many dope like other girlfriends that just like tune in and listen to the podcast. It's just like people like, yeah, like Aggie, one of my like big time homies, just always like there to like listen. And just like so many different people from around here, my family. Yeah, just shout out to like, so I should honestly write it down and do like a huge shout out sometime, but there are so many people. And like, if you're out there, like listening to this and you need somebody, like I said it in the last episode, but don't fucking hesitate to call me. Like I have a pretty gnarly schedule, but it's like mental health is something that's been super important to me for forever. And so it's like,
likewise.
And yeah. And so it's like, it's all it takes is that one person kind of talking you down. And if I got to be that for somebody, like I'll lose the sleep. I'll figure out what I got to do, like work wise. But this has been such a
podcast, but I agree, you know,
yeah, dude.
If anybody out there needs to reach out, I'm here.
Yeah. And he's been great for me. All the times that I've had to reach out and have him talk me down. So it's, but yeah, dude, you're definitely a very, very special friend. So it's, I appreciate all that you specifically have done too, man. So it's just you taking the time to sit here and let me fucking basically rant.
I love it.
For 2 hours.
You know, I'll never turn that down.
You're right. It's a huge help. And so I love hearing your insight, and you got a lot of great things to say and a lot of good advice. So thank you so much, dude.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me on here.
With that, we're going to go ahead and, shut it down. But yeah, I'm gonna start streaming on Twitch, and I gotta figure out like if I'm gonna be doing that just on Twitch, and I still have Kick, and maybe go over to YouTube. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but feel free to try to check in on any of those. I think it's just Drake Augie on Twitch, so we'll go from there. But yeah, hopefully we can bounce back and make this more of a routine. But thank you so much for hopping on, dude, and I can't wait to keep having you on and keep grinding on these.
Absolutely, man. Thanks.
Yep. Take it easy. And everyone, have a safe Thanksgiving, and make sure you be responsible. Later.